And this is Pastor Darrell Bailey coming to you live tonight on Facebook and Sermon Audio. What a tremendous blessing. It's good seeing the harvest of the 377 people reached and the 208 on Facebook, thank God, and the hundreds that we see on Sermon Audio. Thank y'all so much for tuning People's Valley in. Amen. What a tremendous blessing that this is. Even after things get back to normal, this is still going to be one of the most powerful ministries, I believe, that will go forward to take care of our shut-ins. And I'm glad that I prayed a long, long, long time before we chose not Facebook. Okay, forgive me on that. That was something I didn't plan. But I did for Sermon Audio. I mean, months and months that I prayed about before I got on Sermon Audio. So it's a privilege, I tell you, to come to you tonight and to be able to minister to so many in such a new way of ministering here in this modern technology as well. So welcome to People's Valley Baptist Church. Amen. Each and every one of you is, you can find us at 68 Leffer Lane, Cartersville, Georgia. Deacon Bob Carroll, they're over there tonight. The next coming Wednesday, if the Lord doesn't come back, I'm going to be over there with them as well. And so I'm probably going to do my ministry Tuesday night because I'll be won't be here to do it. But I'll be right back in tune the following Wednesday night, getting right back on track with what I've been doing in 1 Peter, because that's what the Lord's laid on my heart to do. And I'm doing exactly what the Lord wants me to do with this series right here and with this teaching. So I thank God. But and so please, you go over and visit them over tonight at the church at 7 o'clock. It's just a few minutes away from that. And be with them. They've got coffee. They've got refreshments right there. They meet out in the fellowship hall for their Bible study. And they would love to have you. So please, if you can, come and be with them. Brother Bob Carroll's teaching on disciples. Amen. It's a great study. And he's a very good teacher. So you come and be with them. Don't forget, if you're not already at a church, come and be with us at People's Valley Baptist Church. We have Sunday school at 10 o'clock. And then we also have 11 o'clock morning worship. We're not doing the Sunday night because I believe that if there was something that you was to pick up and you come right back Sunday night, you wouldn't have time to really know that you had it. And all of a sudden, man, wham. And so right now we're not meeting on Sunday night to have a little bit of a break in between to be safe. And so I thank God that's what we're doing right now. And so hopefully as we continue to progress on, that things will get us to where we can get back on our Sunday night. That starts at 6 o'clock, but right now we're just doing our, Brother Bob doing Wednesday night at 7 o'clock over the church, and we're doing Sunday school at 10 and 11 o'clock morning worship there as well. So I want to remember all of the needs within our church family, as Wednesday night is a Bible study and it's a prayer time. Not only that, I want to mention to all of our People's Valley that we have a 7 o'clock corporate worship wherever you are every Monday night. That's been going on for many years. And so please, I want you to stay faithful to that, because there's no way that no one can minister, and there's no way that anything can revive, grow, or do anything than be able to have prayer about it and pray about it and pray about it and give it up to prayer to the Lord before you ever do anything. As you communicate as a leader, as a pastor, make sure that you communicate to all of your people. Make sure you include all of your people. And make sure that if you do anything, that you don't do it without prayer, without going to the Lord first, and then going through the proper channels of communicating it through the leaders in your church as well. And God will always bless it if you'll go through him in prayer and through the channels as a good leader in the church. Amen. And so here tonight, I thank God. I want you to remember some of our ones that we've been praying for some time. That'll be Rachel Zumach, Mark Pratt, Kara King, Heather Bentley, Melissa Ruppel, Becky Benefield, Laura Skates. She's Madeline's mother, and Renee Mann's family of five, Kobe Boyd, Rissy Bennett, Christy Campbell, Don Massey Jr., Michael Morgenstein, Mary Pruitt's uncle Larry, Mary Pruitt's cousins Michael and Danny, Mary Pruitt's nail guy Daniel, and also Brother Darrell Pruitt has a friend of his that's out in Tampa, Florida. His name is George Gordon. Want to lift him up. Also Jake and George Sr., lift him up in the mighty name of Jesus as well, and Dr. Pete Limpnack. Want you to remember all of our needs within our families. As Sister Joyce Coots, all of us have been thinking, I had too, that she had already got back home, that she had been released, but she's still in the hospital. and waiting to get home. Amen. I'm not going to go into the details on that, but that's has to do between her and her family as well. But we lift her up in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you continue to pray for her as well. I've been asking for help on Lalitha Ram, if I can say it, it's American Indian name, Ram Chuck Drapa. There we go. I'm sad to say that we've been praying for her. She had the COVID and she's passed away recently. And so this COVID has taken a lot of our friends and family, and I'm very sad to say that. That's Nancy Coley's friend. I want you to remember Denise Davison with the passing of her mother, of our co-worker. Lift her up. And I want you to continue remembering as well Jackie Cantrell's mother, Ida Pope. Keep her in your prayers, along with all of our other mothers as well. When we say that as well, there are so many needs. As death has been all around all of us in our community here now. Continue to remember David Franklin. Thank God for that brother. They're going to be doing some wonderful things that's going to be coming up here that I want to include all of our church in, to be able to take care of your neighbor and to go out and pick about five of your neighbors out around and do something for them. And this is something special that that if the Lord doesn't come back before Easter, that we're going to reach some people in our community. And your number one job is to reach your neighbors as well. Amen. And so I thank God each and every one of us as we go through life. Oh, Lord, this thing is giving me a problem here already. If it is, man, there's always something that's coming up on this thing and giving me some problem. I've got a white screen, but all I know to do is just keep on going because I got a second camera going. I always try to think of ahead of everything. And so I don't know if I could try to restart this thing back up again. I ain't getting anywhere with it. I'm going to just forget about it. If I still got my camera, I'm showing it on here. And so let me see if I can refresh it, amen. There's always something like this that goes on. I've upgraded and upgraded this computer, but it is the work of an enemy, or it's my own doing, either one. Amen. Praise God. You got to laugh about it and go on and praise the Lord. Because you know what? I don't care how rough it gets. If you're doing something for the Lord, give praise and glory. Amen. I don't care what kind of scripture it is. Let's dig into it. I love to dig into scripture, the Greek, the Hebrew. Let's break it all down. I love that stuff. Amen. And I can't wait. So praise God. Let's get into it. Amen. Tonight. And so I want you to remember all of our widows and widowers. I'm going to go right on because I got a backup camera as well. And if this thing is still going, I can't really tell. I've got white screen right now. But remember all of our widows. Joyce Coots, Betty Eaton, Gail George, Mary Sr., Sheila Sr., Sarah Turner, Elizabeth Boucher, Melinda Grimes, LaVon Underwood, Linda Adams. Keep all them in your prayers. Want to remember Jim Leahy, Earl Matheson. It was good talking with him this week. You get a chance, People's Alley, give Earl a call. Let him know that you miss him, love him, and lift him up in spirits as well. Todd Barnes, John Osher, and also Bradford Thomas. Remember all these, my uncle. With Gail George, keep her lifted up. And let me see if I can do something with this thing. Man, this thing is, let's see if I can get it back here. At least I'm not seeing the red on there. But anyway, I'm going to keep going because I have my other screen going. And so, please, I want you to remember all of the cancer patients, Gail George, Carolyn Bentley, Eugene Jenkins, Stevie New, Daryl Pruitt, Carrie Jo Payne. You remember all of these ones that are dealing with cancer in a variety of ways. Lift them up in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I know the Lord he knows everything, but I thank God it doesn't hurt for us to be able to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ and to have enough care and love for them to do so, amen. And so I thank God. Let's lift up the mighty name of Jesus tonight. And I want you to remember those many that have the coronavirus, those that are in healthcare positions, the many that have lost their jobs, those in our nation today. We pray for our president as well, Joe Biden. We pray for the nation. We pray that God will bring us back together in unity. We pray for all of our students and our kids that are in schools today. Amen. We pray for the many that are our churches, our pastors out there today, that God will use them in a mighty way. And I know that pastors are doing the very best they can. I tell you, members try to cut them a break. They ain't nobody perfect. I'm not. I'm going to make mistakes, and I will make mistakes, amen, because I'm not perfect. But we try to do the very best that we can. We do have days that we have aches and pains and ailments, and we're going to let you down. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord will never let you down. And I thank God. He's the number one go-to. May we always go to Him for all of our needs, amen, as well. Father, thank you for this great opportunity, Lord, as we get ready to worship. But Lord, all the names that's been lifted up tonight, Lord, I pray for those that's lost, that needs a Savior. They need salvation, Father. And Lord, I pray, God, that they'd get it, Lord, firsthand from you, that you, from the convicting power, that, Lord, that you will just convict them of their sins. And Lord, that they would step out on faith through that convicting power and repent. And Lord, as they acknowledge that they're sinners, they got to recognize that first, Lord, to know that they're a sinner. And Lord, to be able to come by the way of the cross, Lord, that they would get down on their knees, Father, and ask you to be the keeper of their souls and forgive them of their sins, Father. And Lord, be of humbleness and of a contrite heart, Father, that they would ask forgiveness. And Lord, come into the family of God, Lord, with your convicting power. Lord, I pray, God, for these ones that we've mentioned tonight, and we'll never give up on them, Lord, no matter what. Lord, we'll continue to pray and ask God until, Lord, we hear of success, and that, Lord, that we will never be a failure. We're going to continue to pray. Lord, pray for all of our unchurched people that are out there right now, Lord. And, Lord, all of the churches that have closed the doors, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the many, Lord, that are struggling right now because they have a lot of, they've got a building to pay for. They've got a lot of overhead, Father. They've got all of these things that are working against them, Father, the enemy. But, Lord, I pray that you'll help each and every one of these shepherds, these under-shepherds. And, Lord, David Franklin, thank you for him. And, Lord, all of the ministry that he takes care of at Bartow Baptist. And, Lord, I pray tonight, help every pastor that's out there. Lord, give us more of a pastor's heart and an understanding. May we continue to be lift up those ones, Lord, in the congregation that have needs. Give us patience beyond patience, Father. Lord, because sometimes, Lord, we deal with a variety of things. We deal with critics. We deal with folks that, Lord, they think they own you. They think that if they pay their tithes that you belong to them. Lord, we got all kinds. Lord, we got the new berries and the old berries. We got the clique and the group that thinks that they're the ones, and if you go against that group, then you're out. But Lord, whoever it is that thinks they run the church, they don't. God is the head of the church. And so, Father, I pray that you'll just protect those ones out there, Lord, that are being overpowered by a group that thinks they're the ones that's in charge. Lord, they better be careful. You know, one thing, Lord, I know that you talk about, you'll take us on out of this world, Lord. And I thank God that, Lord, you mean business. Lord, you'll take us out. You ain't got to worry about losing your salvation or anything like that. You, a Christian, God will take you out faster than anybody will take you out if you go against contrariness and the things of the Lord. And so you better watch out. Father, I praise you tonight and thank you for this opportunity. And now bless the song that we lift up in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I thank God here. Let's pull out this and amen. Take it again now as I'm telling you this. man, I just pull out a song. Amen. The blessed Savior wrote my name when I was born again. He wrote it when He saved my soul. He wrote that I had made right my ever sinful wrong. He wrote my name on heaven's roll. He wrote my name way up in glory. He saved my soul from sin and shame. I never shall forget the day. The day the blessed Savior wrote my name. If I should live 1,000 years upon this earth below, I never could forget the day that Jesus wrote my name within the blessed book of life. He took my many sins away. He wrote my name way up in glory. He saved my soul from sin and shame. I never shall forget the day the blessed Savior wrote my name. Let's hit it again. He wrote my name way up in glory. He saved my soul from sin and shame. I never shall forget the day the blessed Savior wrote my name. He wrote my name. Hallelujah. Woo! But if that don't get you stirred up, nothing will. Praise God. Hallelujah, man. Man, I feel good. Man, that's fantastic. Thank you, Jesus. Let's get right on into our series, The Testing of Your Assurance. The Testing of Your Assurance in 1 Peter, our Wednesday night Bible study here tonight, February the 17th, 2021, the 5th of Adar, 5781 of the Jewish calendar. Amen. I thank God as we always start out what this book was referring to was of those five places in the provinces of the churches that Peter was talking to, amen, in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And I thank God in each one of these places, which ended up being in modern-day Turkey, hallelujah. I thank God in this area. And so I thank God Peter began to do a work. Tonight, we give you an outline for the next several weeks and months of where we're going with our outline so that you know where we're going, amen. How to live through suffering and give your life to God. I thank God. Tonight, we're going to be talking about get your mind ready, hallelujah. In verses 13, 14, 15, and 16 of 1 Peter, get your mind ready, praise God, amen. But that'll be tonight, I thank God, the 24th. Actually, I've got the 24th on there, but it'll be Tuesday of next week that I'll be doing this. And we'll be talking about live on earth in the fear and reverence of God. Love one another fervently in 1 Peter 22, 25 and March the 3rd. The next one will be strip off some things and crave the word of God. And March the 10th, that'll be in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Then come to Christ, the living stone, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. And that'll be in March the 17th. Then also we'll pick back up, and as we continue on to give a long outline of how, where we're going with this, know who you are, the people of God, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. That'll be March the 24th. Abstain from fleshly lust in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And that'll be March the 31st, amen. Then we'll go right on to submit to the state in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. That'll be April the 7th. Submit to the masters or employers in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. That'll be April the 14th. Then follow Christ's great suffering in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. That'll be April the 21st. We'll pick right on and submit to your own husband. Boy, that's going to be fun, amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Amen. Looking out way into April the 28th. And then understanding your wife. Boy, that's going to be another good one. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Notice I'm only covering one verse and a few in the other. That'll be in May the 12th. Live at peace with others in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. That'll be May the 19th. Love and equip life. And that'll be in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12. That'll be May the 26th. And that'll be basically further enough to go, amen, right there. We'll hold up. And I thank God, let's get started into our introduction. Get your mind ready, hallelujah. Get your mind ready. How to live through suffering and give your life to God. And I thank God, as we talk about getting your mind ready in verses 13, 14, 15, and 16 tonight, amen, because this begins one of the longest sections of 1 Peter. That's why all of those way on into May, that this is a section that goes together, that you teach together in this segment. And I thank God believers were suffering terrible persecution. They had lost their homes, they had lost their property, their money, their possessions, and their friends. They had been forced to flee for their lives, and perhaps they were carrying only what they had on hand. You know, that's why I always say, you need to keep a grab bag next to the kitchen door. You never know when a train will derail. It derailed a while back, amen. And boy, thank God nobody was hurt. But you never know when you got to grab a grab bag and get away from your home because of a chemical spill or something. But brother, sister, praise God, here they were being persecuted because of Christ. They were living for Christ and proclaiming the salvation and the hope of eternal life in Him. People were willing to hear about salvation. They were willing to hear about hope, and they were willing to hear about eternal life in Christ, but they did not want to hear about repentance, sounds like today. They had to repent in order to be saved and to receive eternal life. They were just like people of all ages. They did not want to hear about the righteousness and the godliness and about a Lord to whom they had to give all that they were and had. And so the people turned against the believers. And the believers, they had fled into other countries trying to escape as far away as they could. They were naturally disappointed in all of the dread and fear that was taking place. But they needed to be encouraged, just like people today on Facebook, on sermon audio, just like our churches today. They need to be strengthened and continued in Christ. But what was the best way for Peter to do this? I thank God. Here he tells us, you need to get your mind ready. You know, he could have said to encourage people who had lost everything and were having to flee for their lives. You know, I was reading this past week about a man that bought a new hunting dog. I know about hunting dogs. I grew up with hound dogs, brother and sister. Hey, I was religious in 3 nights a week hunting coons, amen, back in the day. And I tell you, I've had some coons. Boy, I've had some good coon dogs, amen. Boy, I thank God. I say praise God out to Ray Weaver, one of the deacons out over in Rope Mill over in the Woodstock area, praise God, many years ago. And I bought one of the best dogs I ever had. But let me get back. I chase a rabbit if I don't. A man had bought a new hunting dog, eager to see how that he would perform. And he took him out to track a bear. And no sooner had they gotten into the woods that the dog picked up the trail. Man, his nose was going 100 miles an hour. Seemed like suddenly he stopped. He sniffed. He ground, and he headed in a brand new direction. He had caught a scent of a deer that had crossed the bear's path. A few moments later, he hauled again. This time, he smelled this rabbit that had crossed the path of the deer, and so on. And on it went all afternoon until finally, the breathless hunter, he caught up with his dog only to find him barking triumphantly down the hole of a fierce, ferocious field mice. Sometimes we as Christians are just like this hunting dog. We start out with a high resolve, keeping Christ first in our lives. But soon, we're easily distracted. And our attention is diverted to things of a lesser importance. And our pursuit leads us to another until we stray far from the original purpose of serving the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Lord deals with our distractions here in 1 Peter and our spiritual degeneration. He calls us to consecrate ourselves to Christ. Now, the questions that arise to each and every one of us, how do we respond to that call? Now, I thank God there's only one message that can encourage and strengthen each and every one of us, amen, is you need to give your life to God. But the glorious message of the gospel of salvation is they needed to keep their eyes upon the grace of salvation and of God. Now, I know that many of us, that we probably got folks that we just got, we got relatives that they say they saved, but they ain't never set a day foot in church, or they ain't got a desire. You know, it's sad, you know, because there's fruit that should be there that's evident if you're saved. Now, something else was needed. When we're facing the trials and the temptations of life, it's not enough to keep your eye upon salvation. We've got to act. We must do some things. You know, I know some people that they don't know how to grow anything. They ain't never grown anything in their life. Hey, man. But there's some people got green thumbs. We've all got to act upon what we can do. We've got to undergo the trials of life, whether persecution or suffering or temptation and sin. But first of all, Peter's saying we've got to act. We've got to dedicate our lives to God. We've got to get our minds ready is what he's trying to say. We've got to concentrate upon some things. We must focus. We must zero in on 3 things that we're going to talk about in particular when you undergo the trials of life is what Peter is trying to tell all of these five provinces, these Roman provinces that he was writing to. And it's what he's telling us in the church about today. I thank God. Now, as we look at this, I'm going to kind of give you an outline on that. Is, first of all, the first thing we're going to talk about is focus upon the coming grace and the salvation of God in verse 13. Then we're going to talk about focusing upon obedience in verse 14. In verses 15 and 16, we're going to talk about focusing upon holiness. These three things that we need to get our minds ready. How to live through suffering, to give your life and to get it ready, amen. I thank God each and every one of us as we go through life. You need how to live through suffering and to give your life to God, amen. It's one of those things, amen. And so I thank God. We start right out, every one of us, we've got to be that disciplined person that we need to be. We need to be a disciplined person mentally. We need to be a disciplined person morally. And we need to be a disciplined person motivationally. Now, let's look at that. And the first point, as we get our minds ready, as those three things, one of the first things that we undergo in the trials of life is focus upon the coming grace and the salvation of God. Now, I thank God every one of us, as we look and realize that a disciplined person, amen, is what he's talking about trying to be, amen. Because look back at verses 1 through 12. The Apostle Peter, he was describing salvation's supreme place in God's foreordained plan. And he explained it's a marvelous promise of eternal inheritance, proclaiming the greatness of salvation, amen. And that's what we talked about back in those verses. But here in verse 13, Peter shifts to a commanding mode. He moves from describing, he moves from explaining the nature of salvation and to commanding those who have received it concerning their obligations and the responsibilities of divine salvation and what it places on all who have received it, amen, that we've got to focus upon it. These obligations can be summarized in this one, two words, hope, that we're going to be talking about, and holiness. Hope and holiness. Now, thank God, as we focus on that, we think it through. It's one of the first things that we've got to do, amen. Now, I thank God, he tells us right here. Look at the comparison. I got the King James on the left and the English version on the right. Now, thank God, don't worry, I'll get back over to the King James in just a minute. But he tells us this. He said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You can look over and read the other translation if you want to. Maybe you've got an NIV. That's great. You've got another translation. That's good. But what he's first of all, when it comes to our future, is he's telling us you need to think things through. You know? You know what? Reminds me of Quaker Oats back when they purchased Snapple. For $1.7 billion a few years ago. It seemed like it was a good idea on paper for Quaker Oats to purchase Snapple. And they were sure that it would be a very nice addition to their product line. But after the sale was complete, the folks at Quaker Oats learned that unlike all of the other beverages that they own, Snapple has to be kept refrigerated. Oh, yeah, that's right. And Quaker owned exactly zero refrigerated vehicles. So they ended up selling the company for $300 million, okay, which was about 20% of what they had paid for it, obviously, and they didn't think it through. You know, that's exactly what we do in our Christian life about salvation, is sometimes we do things and we don't think it through. We don't take it to the Lord in prayer. He's saying, don't just think about this moment. Think about the very big picture of your life. Think about where your life is going and what God has promised to accomplish through you. And most importantly, think about what you're going to be, not what you were. Think about the fact that Paul had said that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? And so we see the requirements that's here for that's needed for obedience, amen, to be able to go forward and to do the right thing. But here is one of the things. Grace is the favor of God showered upon us. We do not deserve his favor. For if we have not believed God, not perfectly, and if we disobeyed and transgressed and cursed and neglected and ignored and rebelled against God, nevertheless, God always favors us no matter what. He don't like the sin, but he loves the sinner, amen. And he loves us. God is a God of love. Therefore, he has provided a way for every one of us to be saved. He has sent his Son into the world to take for us and give us a way of eternal salvation. Amen. And so he's provided that way for us to be saved. And so he sent his Son into the world to take all of our transgressions upon himself and to bear the judgment for us. And that's what it's meant when Scripture says that Jesus Christ died for us. Amen. He took the guilt of our transgressions against God upon himself. He bore the judgment and the punishment for us. Amen. That's God's grace for us. It's the great favor and the blessing which he has bestowed upon us, even our salvation. Ain't this simple? Ain't this very simple stuff? You know, it's a critical fact that we're not in heaven with God yet, but we're not saved from the presence of sin and death yet. We're still living in this world and in the presence of evil and corruption, this old fleshly nature that we got. Hey, we're going to be delivered someday, and we shall be perfected and never know sin and death. But we're not there yet, as Peter is saying. And the day is coming, the day that is known as a glorious day of redemption, or the glorious day of our salvation. And I thank God we got to pursue that day. We got to pursue the grace, the glorious salvation of God that to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we go after God's grace diligently, and we make sure, absolutely sure, that you don't miss God's grace. Amen. And so you pursue God's grace and salvation by doing three things. Number one, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind, amen. Let's get on over here and get this over here as I have this, amen. Gird up, as it says right here, from the Greek word, anazonumi, which means, and now, by the way, I've got that exactly correct, if you want to call me on the carpet, because I put it on there, well, make sure I get it correct, amen. It means to be ready for action or to prepare and to gird up. And I thank God, every one of us, you got to pursue God's grace and salvation by doing three things. Gird up the loins of your mind is what he's telling us, amen. Each and every one of us, we gather up all the loose thoughts. We gird up our minds and thoughts and concentrate and focus our attention upon our coming salvation. During Peter's day, men wore robes that they had to put a belt around their waist. And when they were set on some strenuous action, they gathered up their robe, they tightened it under their belt so that that robe would not flop around and hinder their work, amen. And the believer today is to gather up the loins of his mind, gather up all the loose thoughts, and focus and concentrate upon the grace and the salvation of God, praise the Lord. So, you know, we're to strain to control every thought and to focus upon whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and things of a good report, amen. Believe me, he says in Philippians 4:8, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so, how clearly and simply Scripture states this, that we're not to allow our thoughts to roam about and harbor the thoughts of lust and worldliness, amen. We're to focus our thoughts upon things of virtue and of praise, amen. Be careful what you let into your windows of your eye. You got to be able to get your mind ready, amen, and not allow your thoughts that tear down our moral and godly fiber. So it's saying you need to gird up, amen. Scripture is even more clear and forceful in another passage, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5, that it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I thank God, the very warfare of the believer is spiritual and mental. And therefore, the believer must cast down those imaginations. Cast down every high thing that exhibits itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Imagine every thought is to be captivated for Christ. Believers gird up the loins of their minds. They gather up all the thoughts of your mind and focus upon the grace and the salvation of God. Amen. Boy, I thank God each and every one of us as we go through. Paul said in Romans 8, 5 and 6, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so I thank God I've got a lot of those references references of the Thompson chain that I could run with you, but let me move on. Those are for me, amen. Well, I thank God. And so, as we pursue God's grace and salvation, we do three things. I said, number one, you gird up the loins of your mind, amen. But looking as well, we see that you also, it tells us to be sober, that it tells us. And so, here it says, nepho. It's the Greek word nepho, which means to be calm and collected in spirit. Now, I'm a hyper person. Amen. It says to be calm and collected in spirit and to be self-controlled, steady, or circumspect to weigh matters, to not lose control of thought or actions. Amen. And so I thank God. Here he says, to gird up your loins of your mind and be sober is what he says. And so sober, as he's talking about two things. Amen. Not to become intoxicated with drugs or alcohol of any kind, and to be sober in mind and behavior. I wonder how many times in our past. Now, remember, I don't know about you or your past. I couldn't ever speak on your behalf. How could I? I only know myself. But I can only say for myself that how many times that I've been wrong in this area in my life, to be controlled in all things, but I've let things out there, material things, control me. Not to be given over to the indulgence and license and extravagance that's out there today. The opposite of indulgence, of indulging in anything such as eating, drinking, recreation, or whatever it is. It means to live a sober, solid, controlled life, and the believer is to be sober as he pursues the coming grace and the salvation of God. I thank God. Don't indulge and gratify the flesh in the food, sex, clothing, power, pornography, relaxation, vehicles, all of those things. The believers to live a well-balanced life, sober, controlled, solid, steady, keep all things in the proper place, sober, focused, concentrated upon the grace and the salvation of God, amen, that he tells us, amen. And I thank God that he tells us, he goes on and he says, listen, he says, also, he said, hope, right here. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. He says, be sober, but now, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word hope is from the word elpidzo. Elpidzo, which not only means to hope, but it also means to wait for salvation with joy and full confidence. It comes from the root word elpis, which means an expectation of good. And so I thank God each and every one of us, as we look and realize how truly blessed that we are, that we can do these things, amen. Our hope must be kept alive, amen. And I thank God as we look and realize, because I said, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, but hope to the end for the grace and the salvation of God is those three things that we pursue in God's grace and salvation in doing, amen. And so every one of us, I thank God, the NIV says on this, therefore prepare your mind for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Amen? And so, there is a dead hope and there's a lifeless hope out there. A dead hope is the hope that so many people have and the hope that we will be acceptable to God when we die. Amen? But I thank God as we look and note that the exhortation of Scripture, amen, it tells us to pursue, to seek, and to go after the grace and the salvation of God, to hope for it, to keep on hoping for it. Amen? And to hope until the revelation of Jesus Christ. I thank God, every one of us, one of these days he's going to rent the clouds above and return to the earth to save us from the sin and death and the evil and the corruption of this world. And therefore, hope, as we keep on hoping and we pursue, keep on pursuing for the coming grace, that he's coming in the clouds and he's going to rapture the church on out of here, praise God. And I tell you, that is one of the things that he's referring to, as you get your mind ready for those things that are coming ahead, amen. And so we see the focus that's took place in all of this that he's talking about. He says right here, he says he's talking about this, amen. But he's also, as he's talking about the end, the hope to the end. And we are to hope to the end, which means that we're to set our hope completely or fully on the grace that we will receive at the revelation of Christ. Christians are not to hope half-heartedly or indecisively, but with finality and without any equivocation or doubt concerning the promises of God. And the word end also, it speaks of completion of our salvation. And so I thank God. And so that gets us through all of this, but that gets us to our second part, and that is to focus upon obedience in verse 4, because he says we need to be sensitive to the Word and separated from the world, amen. The requirements for obedience is a positive attitude, and it's also the proper appearance. I thank God, as a dedicated person, I thank God, if God changes you on the inside, He'll change you on the outside. He'll clean you up, praise God. You know what? There's all kind of nutrition labels out there. They've got these charts that list the minimum amount of daily requirements for every vitamin and nutrient. Boy, we've all come up against stuff like this, amen. You know, if you go over the minimum, that's okay. But if you want to be healthy, you need to meet the USDA-approved minimums, amen. We observe the minimum daily requirements in other areas of our life, usually without thinking about it. But subconsciously, each of us set a standard. This is at least that we're willing to accept from ourselves. Different people set the bar at different levels. Everybody's got their own minimum daily requirement that at least they're willing to accept from themselves. Peter challenges every one of us that we need to raise the bar as we focus upon obedience. Increase the minimum that you accept from yourself, amen. That you set a new standard, amen. Because I thank God, that's exactly what we're getting into right here. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, amen. I thank God. Peter said that we need to set the bar at holiness, amen. I thank God. Stop chasing after the things that you used to chase, living to satisfy your own desires, and instead strive to be holy and obedient. And I thank God, as we raise the bar in all of our Christian life, each day we'll spend time alone with God, and at least a few minutes in the Word of God, and a few minutes in prayer, praise God, and we'll not settle for less. That's it. We're going to take this, and this be the minimum, the new minimum of daily requirement for men and women of God to do. Now, I'm not telling you what. You've got to set that. You need to set the bar high. And I thank God, that is exactly what Peter's trying to tell us in this new 20,021 today, amen. How that we live through suffering and give our life to God to get your mind ready, amen. Because it's with a new attitude, that every one of us can increase the minimum that we will accept from ourselves, amen. I thank God as we go through life today. If you looked at this with the NIV, it says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, amen. There's a sharp contrast in this verse. Note exactly what it says. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, amen. But it's the phrase, obedience children, means children of obedience. And so, as believers are to be so obedient to God, that obedience becomes the basic trait of their lives. Amen. Obedience is to be so characteristic of our lives that we can be called children obedience. And so I thank God there's the contrast that we've got to try to change. The lust and the desires, the money, the possessions, amen. Man must have the necessities of life is what we think a lot of times. But Peter says no. Because of man's ignorance is what he's talking about. Because look right there, he says, according to the former lust in your ignorance, that he says. And so I thank God each and every one of us, he tells us, he says, listen, he says the phrase, not fashioning yourselves is what he's saying. According to, it's from the Greek word, suke madadizo. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I might not be exactly right on saying that, but he means to conform yourself to another's pattern, to be guided by. And so we're not to follow or be guided by the lustful lifestyle of our lives before we were saved and ignorant of God's truth, amen. And so I thank God as we look at this and realize man is ignorant of God and man does not know God, not personally. Not in a close relationship that fellowships and communes with God day by day. And so when man thinks of God, he thinks of him as some being or force that's far away out in outer space somewheres, that's too far and far removed to relate to in a personal way. But that's not true as man feels all these things. The point is this, amen, that God is not far off, that he's not removed from man, amen. God has revealed himself in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore man is to look at Jesus Christ and to see God, and he's to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. man is to obey God, and he's to obey God in so much that he'll become a child of obedience. Amen. And so thank God as we look at this, how truly blessed that we are. Then we come up to our third and last point on this tonight. Amen. And that is focus upon holiness in verses 15 and 16 that he tells us. Amen. We focus upon holiness. Now, I thank God as we think about this, it takes a distinctive person, the significance of holiness, the source of holiness, the scope of holiness, amen, that he's talking about. We focus upon holiness, amen. And so I thank God. Here we see the pure actions that are before us, amen, as we do this. Because here, this is what he says. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, amen. Boy, I thank God, each and every one of us, as we talk about this. Boy, he's telling us this. Holy, it means to be righteous and pure and sinless and godly, to be perfect and complete and fulfilled in every possible sense. Hey, I'm not perfect, but what God did in me is. And so the believer is to be holy, that is, sinless and godly, and all of these things, amen. There are three reasons why believers are to live a holy life, amen. Because God is holy, is what he's telling us right here. And I thank God. God is the embodiment of an absolute righteous purity and sinlessness and godliness, amen. He's the embodiment of absolute perfection, completeness, and fulfillment. He is all of these things. But also, number two, not only are they should be believers that we live a holy life because God is holy, but secondly, God has called believers to be holy in all of life as well. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. But Peter didn't want believers to forget that though they have an intimate relationship with their Heavenly Father, they must conduct themselves in holiness during the time of their stay on earth, because God is also the one who impartially judges according to each one's work. Amen. As long as people live on this earth as believers, God's keeping a record of their works. And after the revelation of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a judgment of all believers. And Paul described it in the book of Corinthians that you need to read later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 10 all the way down to verse 15. Amen. Get into that and read it later on. You know, I do that, if anything, to give you a challenge to get into the Word of God and to read it. Amen. And so I thank God each and every one of us is what he's telling us to do these things. Amen. And so he says God is holy in verse 15. God has called believers to be holy in all of life in verse 15. But let's move on in verse 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, he says. And I thank God that third point, that why believers are to live holy lives, is because Scripture demands holiness. Scripture demands us to be holy, amen, is what he's telling us in verse 16. And so every one of us, we have no choice. This is a command of Scripture itself. And if we wish to be God's, then we must live like God wants us to live. We've got to live lives that are holy, amen. Now, let's run a little bit of Scripture in the Old Testament. Leviticus 11:45. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verses 74 and 75. That he would grant us unto that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Amen. And I thank God that he tells us in Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And so every one of us, as we go through life today, he said, we've got to focus and zero in on three things in particular when you undergo the trials of life. Focus upon the coming grace and salvation of God in verse 13. As a disciplined person, mentally, morally, motivationally, amen. He says also, when you focus and zero in, when you are undergoing the trials of life, you need to focus upon obedience in verse 14, that you're a dedicated person, amen, that you're sensitive to the Word, you're separated from the world, hallelujah, amen. And then thirdly, as we look at focusing and zero in on the particular things that when you undergo the trials of life, the third thing is focus upon holiness in verses 15 and 16, which is a distinctive person that's significant of holiness itself. It's a source of holiness. And I thank God, it's a scope of holiness itself that we've got to get into in our time of prayer and relationship, amen. And then we, later on, well, we're not getting into it tonight, but in verse 17 it says, go on and be a discerning person. Fellowship with the Father. that we're going to be talking about next time, because God's people are to be a holy people. And in his second letter to Peter, he wrote, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness?" God still demands holiness, and therefore holiness must be a priority of the life of every believer. Amen. As I conclude and close out tonight, do you sometimes wonder what the future holds for you? The Bible makes it very clear that you control this part of your life, because the harvest that you reap will be the result of what you sow. And if you want to thrive, then you need to plant the seed of obedience. Think through what you do. Raise the bar just a little bit higher and expect more of yourself each and every day. And then get it done. And you'll do more than just thrive in your Christian life and grow in maturity. You'll thrive in this life. I thank God. Remember, this is Pastor Darrell Bailey saying, you can preach a better sermon with your life than you can with your lips. Father, thank you tonight for the great honor and the privilege of being with the family of God, especially People's Valley. They're what it's all about. But Lord, I pray for those ones maybe that's tuning this in that we may not be aware of on Facebook and sermon audio. And I pray that if there's someone tonight that's listening to us, that they've never experienced salvation and they've never experienced a life of holiness and a fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you will just bring a convicting power upon them, that Lord, through that convicting, that they will fall under the convicting power, and Lord, they'll step out on faith and realize that they need salvation, that they're lost, and that they need to repent. And Lord, when they begin to repent and ask you to come into their heart and lives and be the keeper of their souls and change them forever and be their Savior, Father, what a change will transpire. And Lord, what a change will happen in their lives. Thank you tonight for the Word of God in Jesus Christ. Amen.